Well, hello and welcome to Calvary at Home. My name is Sean and I'm the online gathering pastor. Wherever you are listening in from, you are so welcome. Well, it is a CWOW weekend at Calvary and it's also Serve Week. So wherever you are listening in from today, we encourage you to find a way to pray for, to love, serve, and invite others into your life, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, today we are going to be looking at some next generation information that we want to bring your way. In fact, the next three CWOWs, we're going to be looking at some information from the next series. So our goal for today, goal one in next is to prioritize the next gen. Goal number two coming up next month is to bless every neighbor in our communities. And then in June, goal three, we'll be looking at preparing in faith for the 2030 vision. Well, today I am here with two of the finest next-gen workers around, Jake Knoll and Jason Ponish. Guys, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Okay, so before we get started, let me ask you this question since we're focusing on next generation today. So what generation did Forrest Gump belong to?
Boomers.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie, so
it's a classic.
I trust him.
You trust that?
I got to
Boomers.
Watch it in history class back to back years.
You shouldn't trust.
No,
Jason.
It's not Boomers. It's because it
Gen X.
Nope. Who's above Boomers?
Gen X, right?
Boomers. We know about Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
Okay. Well, I mean,
and
you're close.
He's not a part of that.
How about if he's part of Gen I?
Wow. Wow. We're off
to no, I mean, I don't have the same Southern drawl, but
we're done.
So you were close with the F. All right. Let me go on to a lightning round, Spitfire questions.
Good.
Jason,
this
first one for you.
This is where I thrive.
Right. You liked it, see?
Hey, lock in.
All right. Jason, what is your favorite XYM game?
It's a game called Jameson Ball, which we played also in high school and got brought into youth group. It's basically capture the flag, but each team has two flags, which are playground balls. So you can like throw them or punt them to try to have someone on your team catch them.
Sounds
fun. Yeah, great game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake, what's one of your favorite XYM memories?
He's got a lot of good ones.
Yeah, I think a lot of my favorite ones are bad ones. So like the two that I can think of.
Oh no,
we're gonna have to edit
right
this.
They're not that kind of bad.
Okay.
My first time doing like an event solo. So Stacy had moved on. I was the youth pastor, and it was a summer kickoff. And I thought it'd be hysterical to fill socks with flour and hit each other with it. Mm-hmm. Because like you think, you know, you have flour in a sock, you hit someone with the sock.
Yeah.
Well, and the flour like, you know, shoots out of the sock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got socks from Sam's Club and they were thick, sturdy socks. And basically for 20 minutes kids were beating each other with essentially baseballs and socks. And one kid who's now a leader came up to me, his pinky was like sticking out sideways. He was like, "Jake, I think I broke my finger." And in like a panic, because I'm like, this is my first time doing this. I was like, oh, you're fine. You're good. And he went and kept hitting people and then came back next week with a splint and he had broken his
fingers. Yikes.
So,
but he liked it so much.
That he's leading with us.
He's a leader now.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
And Jake's gotten wiser in his years. We hope we don't do that much anymore.
Yeah. We don't do that.
Good to know. All right, Jason, who's your favorite person on staff?
Oh, can I say everyone?
Or is that you have to pick one.
No, okay.
Bring it down. Bring it right
Jake's,
down.
Jake's
to like
the person
right here.
Who really gave me my job and has been my mentor. So I'll definitely say his dad, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
So,
because
without Dan, there's no you.
Zero respect.
Without Lynn, there's no you.
Unbelievable.
So. Wow. Okay. Jason might be looking for another
Unbelievable.
Job.
Unbelievable.
Jake, what have you done for fun recently?
Oh man. I don't get to do a ton of fun stuff with a 10-month-old at home. But in May, this is like not youth ministry related, right?
That's okay.
It's just
me. Fun.
In May, I'm going to Colorado, meeting a friend, driving to Utah, and we're doing 4 days on the Flaming Gorge River, and we're fishing and rafting.
Sounds fantastic.
Like on
fire. Awesome.
It's not actually on fire. That's just the name of it. Yeah, it's water.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. Currently, how many leaders are on the XYM team?
Ooh. Can we name them?
We should have an exact number, but we...
I always print for 18 volunteers.
18 volunteers, so. And that represents how many students on average?
I think the last time we ran like an official average count was right around 60, but something you'll see in youth ministry is depending on sports season, yep. It really fluctuates. Yep. So, I mean, I always joke our numbers are a range of 50 to 80. So, okay. But so that 60-70 range is probably more fair.
Okay. Jake, what are some wins for Extreme this year?
Yeah, I mean, the big one that we're looking at right now is discipleship. So one of our big like calls, challenges to our small group leaders is at the very least have a one-on-one conversation with a student about what discipleship would look like, what that one-on-one or two-on-one connection would look like. We currently probably have, I don't know, I'd guess close to 15, maybe 20 students who are being actively discipled, and you know, probably another 20 or 30 who have been asked and are considering that.
But love it.
That's kind of our big win moving forward, is those deeper interpersonal connections and relationships.
I so admire that, because you know, there was a time when the church would say a win is to go from 50 to 80 students to 120, right. And we're talking about multiplication by making disciples. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So, in the next book, about in the middle of it, there's some information in here about why it's so important, to take the journey into God's next initiative, especially as we're focusing on next gen. And it says in there, in the last 3 years, 40% of the pastors in America have considered quitting. 1 in 3 are at risk for burnout or have gone through bouts of depression, and America's pastors are getting older. Today, there are more pastors over the age of 65 than there are under the age of 40. A majority of current pastors say finding future leaders is a challenge. Even faithful, kingdom-minded teens and young adults who want to make a difference in the world are increasingly attracted to vocations other than full-time church ministry because of the institutional baggage of church. This is a fascinating time in the history of the North American church. Sometimes it seems like very successive generation is more skeptical of the church. Every year, more than 1 million millennials, that's, well, Dan wrote this, that's my kids, but actually my kids fall into this too, 20s through the early 40s, walk away from the faith. A significant study done by the Pine Tops Foundation suggests that if things continue as is, over 1 million youth in the church today will choose to leave every year for the next 3 decades. So along with a sense of urgency, there's an equally great sense of expectancy. Millennials came back to church after the pandemic in greater measures than ever than even the boomers. So there is hope. Gen Z, Barna calls them the open generation, and looking at the data from a massive worldwide study, they have used words like optimistic, engaged, malleable, curious, authentic, inclusive, and collaborative to describe this gen. While Gen Z is skeptical of the church, they are incredibly open to spirituality and Jesus. Not only must we do something, God has brought us to a season where we can do something. And with his gracious hand upon us, our something will matter greatly. So I love this focus. I love the focus that we have here at Calvary of next gen. And next gen is not just middle school and high school students. Next gen would be, I think, from the cradle all the way through college. So we have an incredible opportunity to dig in, to coach, to mentor, to disciple the next gen. So at Calvary, what does the next 6 years look like as we prioritize the next gen? One of the things that we want to do at Calvary is begin a residency or a fellowship. Could one of you talk into that a little bit and explain to our listeners and viewers a little bit more in depth of what that could look like?
Yeah, that's something I'm really excited about. I've gotten to work a little bit with Isaac Balbin, just kind of with the recruiting aspect for it. But what they have planned seems like, to me, at least a pretty, you know, near world-class like idea. You'll get to take, if you want to, upwards of 30 college credits that will transfer to most Christian universities, at least. I'm sure some would transfer to non-Christian universities and save, one, from the financial aspect, a ton of money on that. So that might make your parents happy or you happy. But then also, like, you're going to get actual ministry training with, you know, if you want to do youth ministry, probably working with me and Jake. If you wanted to do more of like a gathering pastoral, potentially working with Sean or another GP, kids ministry outreach, you'll get to have actual on-site experience and get to hear from some of the awesome former business or current business leaders at Calvary, having them come in and kind of explain being a Christian in the business world or in, you know, doing ministry while not being, you know, working at a church, which is what we're all called to do. So you're going to get to hear from great speakers. You're going to get to take classes, save a lot of money on those classes. And, you know, another part of it is you are in a group of, we're hoping for this fall, 12. So you're going to also make a lot of great friends and connections through it. And, you know, by the end, hopefully either send you off well to college or send you off well to working in a church or working wherever you are next. So it just seems like a really good thing, you know, for your life, beneficial for you as a leader to develop more.
Fantastic. And I understand you've already done a pretty good job of recruiting.
I'm trying. Yeah. Isaac exaggerated it a little bit, but.
So if our viewers want a little bit more information, I'm going to encourage that you just email. We'll put Isaac's email at the bottom of your screen. Go ahead and email him, inquire, get some more information. Maybe you have a family member. Maybe you know of somebody that this would be perfect for. We would love to pour into the next gen this way.
Yeah, and even if you're not like interested in ministry, like this is a really good just leadership in general, what it looks like to be a Jesus follower in the world today. Yep. Yeah. So even if you're like, I don't think I want to go into ministry long term, this is a very, we think, a very valuable resource, a really good use of time and money.
Yeah,
that's great for someone looking to do a gap year after high school or college, or even someone who's thinking second career. So the options are open. It's not just for one certain group, but definitely a focus on next gen.
Yep, it's good. The next thing we're going to prioritize at our central location at Harvest Fields, Jake, would be an expansion project for our youth.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we've been working on that for a while. We've kind of outgrown our youth space for a while now. We're blessed to have a space, but it is a smaller space. And so a big reason for this, we're hoping to build something that's kids need to run around during the winter, and everything in the church right now is very breakable. And so
we've broke it before.
We've broken a few things. The TVs are more expensive than you would think.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason. But the bigger thing is, one of our huge focuses, if not the most important thing, like more important than the messages, more important than games and snacks and all that, is our small group time.
Yep.
Our small group leaders make or break the ministry. And so when we break out into small groups right now, there are several places in the church where there's just like multiple groups. And so the one that I think of is kind of out in the commons. We have four groups that have to meet in the commons. And some of those groups are a little bit more mature and able to go a little bit deeper, whereas some of them get 5 minutes of good conversation and then it's like, I need to run. And so it's really difficult to kind of facilitate meaningful small group time when there's that happening. And so a big purpose, like one of my main focuses, is how can we get extra small group rooms? And so with this building, we will have a bigger meeting space. We'll have our own little kind of cafe area, some really cool patio space to do some fun stuff with. But then we'll have several specific rooms for small groups to meet.
Awesome.
And one of my favorite things is two of the rooms are going to be reserved for senior guys and senior girls. Yep. And the day they become a senior, we give them free rein to decorate, add furniture, take furniture out, kind of make that room their own.
Very cool.
Because I think it's meaningful when they have a space that they know, like, this is my space. Yeah. And
that's something we've heard from students a lot.
Yeah.
Something that's they can call awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So,
okay. And timeline, excited. When do you foresee this?
Not
project?
Entirely sure, but we're hoping to break ground this spring.
Okay.
We're still waiting on a few things, but ideally this spring, and then I don't know how long it takes to build a building.
That's never so exciting.
That, so.
Excellent. All right. And the third thing we're going to prioritize within NextGen would be opening up some funds, because Calvary has been so generous towards the Next. And so we're going to be looking to hire a Next Gen director for our Lewistown site. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about that, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and email me. My address will be at the bottom of the screen. And I'd love to tell you a little bit more about what that role looks like. So quickly, either one of you go ahead and answer this. What is it that the Next Gen is looking for? What do they need?
You want to go first? Or want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think just from some recent reading, I think any time that we can make, like, I don't want to just talk about Sunday mornings, but for Sunday mornings specifically, an article from Carrie Newhoff came out recently about just making Sunday mornings more of like an intimate, you know, worship service, like giving that space to, you know, I think a lot of times I fall into this trap of I go to church Sunday, sing three songs, sit down, listen to a message, but making it more of not a spectator sport, but something mm-hmm. active. Yep. So creating that space for worship to be more intimate, which isn't just on the church, that's on the person too. That's on the individual. That's a choice I need to make. But also, like recently, I was thinking, and one of my favorite things we did at Harvest Fields, I'm not sure if the other sites did it too, but we just did a weekend where people were going up and sharing their story. Mm. And that's a cool thing for me as someone who is Gen Z and our students to see like the church isn't just a bunch of perfect people going on Sunday and, you know, yep. living their best life, but it is like more broken people, and you're not going to have your whole life figured out the second you hit your 30s. It's all a process of following God. So anytime we can do that and really make the congregation feel more together by doing that, I feel like it's a huge win for Gen Z.
Yeah,
so.
It's good.
I think two things kind of pop up in my mind. So the first thing is Gen Z is really passionate about making a difference in the world.
Mm. Yep.
They just, a lot of them aren't sure how to do that or what that looks like. And so pointing them in the direction of, hey, this is how you change the world, like one mm-hmm. person at a time for Jesus, giving them service opportunities, mm-hmm. equipping them to disciple their friends and go into their schools. I mean, they can reach their friends a million times better than I can, yep. than Jason yep. can, yep. than anyone else can. So equipping them in that. And then the second thing, I'm reading a book called The Anxious Generation. That is just, it's all about social media and technology, and just the more studies you look at, the more research, there's a very direct connection between anxiety, depression, and social media. Mm-hmm. Like one that isn't just maybe this is coincidence. Like you can map it out, and 2010 is when stuff started to spike. That's when the like button came yep. out and, yep. on Facebook. And so I think like giving them a space to be away from technology and focus on those face-to-face relationships and conversations, whether they realize they need it or not, I think that's what they're longing for.
Interesting, yeah.
And so we just, you know, we try and make it, we don't take phones away, but we say several times, like, hey, for the next hour, why don't you keep your phone in your pocket yep. and mm-hmm. just focus on those relationships. And I think that's meaningful to them, giving yep. them spaces where they can form deep relationships, because a lot of people, not just Gen Z, but a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people need those face-to-face yep. in-person relationships. And so trying to cultivate a space where those relationships can grow is a really important thing for us.
So good. So for our viewers and listeners who aren't already actively involved in Next, what are some quick spitfire ways that they can jump in? What's an on-ramp for them to be part of this?
I mean, one thing that you kind of touched on about the start by asking us about our volunteer count is we are always looking for small group leaders. Yep. We're about to move 5th graders up to 6th grade, so they join XYM. So for that, we need, you know, small group leaders for that group, obviously. If you don't know about XYM, we try to have leaders stay with their group, so you get to follow them the whole way to high school. You don't have to, but obviously that means every time we get a new class, we usually need to get new volunteers.
Yeah,
so coming up here soon, we'll need female small group leaders for 6th grade girls and guy small group leaders for 6th grade guys, and that is one of the tougher asks, but it's great. I've done 6th grade small groups twice now, and you know they're a little crazy, but they grow up. Everyone grows up eventually.
Yep. So we've all been there.
Yeah,
and again, that's super helpful. That's needed. Mm-hmm. We need small group leaders, but if you're not in a space where you're like, I can commit to that, this generation just loves people who are authentically and unapologetically themselves.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
So finding ways to just have conversations with Next Gen
I love it.
On Sundays throughout the week, saying hello, asking them about themselves. Yeah. Like, there's so many simple things you can do to make them feel seen and heard and loved. Pray for them, pray for the next generation. Yep. That is one of the most important things you can possibly do. Like we have a strong belief that this generation can and will change the world for the better, but they need older generations praying for them, walking alongside them, offering advice and insight, and then also listening to advice and insight that they give us.
Yes.
There's so many things that I've been told that have helped shape my ministry, our ministry, from Gen Zers that is for the better, because they know what their generation needs. Yeah. And so being open to hear from that and change and learn what they have teach us.
That's an important piece. I mean, even just having a student leadership team meeting recently, like our students, when I ask, like, what's a barrier in your leadership? And it's like, well, if I'm in a room full of adults, I don't feel like I have a ton to offer. Mm. And we really want to push against that and say, no, you have much more to offer. So creating that space and letting them know, like, I want to know what you know about is huge.
Yeah. Yep. So. Awesome. So if you live locally, get involved at the local level. If you don't live in this region, you can still be involved wherever it is that you live, learn, work, and play. Yeah. Let me challenge you. Open up your eyes. Look for the next gen around you and invest into them. Certainly pray for them, pray with them, but invest time into them. Let them know, like you said, Jake, they're seen, known, and loved. Hey, can I just pray over you guys before we wrap up?
Thank you.
God, thanks for your incredible love for us. Thanks for this focus on the next gen. Thanks for these guys. Would you just pour out your anointing and favor over them and their ministry and over their leaders, over the students that they have influence? I pray for each of our viewers and listeners today that they would recognize they too have influence wherever it is that they live, learn, work, and play, and that each of us would just be super intentional about reaching out and investing into the lives of those around us. God, would you go before us? I pray that each person would prayerfully consider how they can step into this immediately. And we ask and pray these things boldly in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, thanks again for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thank you for being with us. And again, we challenge you, go as the church and be the church wherever it is you are coming in from today. We love you. We hope to see you again soon.